Yes, it's coming up to 20 minutes past 7 on breakfast. Time to go over the week that was with Murray Olds. And it has been a big week, mate.
Huge week indeed. Yeah, I suppose the two big overseas stories, you've got the dreadful triple suicide bombing at Ataturk Airport in Istanbul. I've been there, as many Australians have. Very standard design and construction, but heavens above, 60 million people go through there every year.
It's a massive airport. Huge. People don't realise what a central hub it is for the most scale of that area of Europe.
Correct, that's right. The scale is enormous. And given the fact that Turkey has been hammered this year by half a dozen, off the top of my head, I can think of half a dozen similar but smaller terrorist acts, how these people were able to get inside the terminal as they were is beyond me. And that's what many people are now saying. Of course, it sparked a review of Australian airport security, as
it
you might
would,
expect.
Yes.
But some details released overnight by the Turkish authorities have arrested now 13 people, allegedly Islamic State supporters. The three bombers, one of them was Russian, the other two came from Central Asian republics. And they are now saying that security will be even tighter. How on earth it wasn't tighter is just, it beggars belief.
Well, we talked with Bianca, who was reading the news yesterday. She said she had a friend of hers went through Ataturk Airport 3 hours before the bombing happened. Wow. And had commented at the time how incredible security was.
There you go.
So there was a lot of planning in this.
These people, they lobbed up in a taxi. Mm. They were armed to the teeth. They had suicide bombs on. And had machine guns as well. So I've no idea what's going on there. And the funeral's ongoing. The other big story, as you mentioned, was the Brexit vote and the ongoing fallout. Financial markets have recovered around the world, pretty much all their losses. But one big loser this morning, Boris Johnson, the outspoken and somewhat controversial former London mayor, who all his life has wanted to be prime minister. He was one of the people who was leading the campaign to get out of Europe with his eye on Downing Street. Well, one of his key backers has said, well, sorry, Boris, you're not the man. And, in fact, Michael Gove has put himself forward.
It's really snapped back on him, hasn't it?
I've bitten him on the backside.
Yeah, badly so. Yeah.
So we'll hear a bit of Boris Johnson later on through the day. You've also got the big story for Australians, of course, is the election campaign. And it's been the end now of a marathon, one of our longest ever?
I think it is.
I think it is the longest ever.
Amazing.
And on election eve, we've got the latest opinion poll. It's the Fairfax Ipsos poll that says basically it's 50-50. Preferred Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, daylight to Bill Shorten, but 50-50 in terms of the coalition versus Labor. As we know, Labor leader Bill Shorten, if he loses, will have to declare he will be quitting the leadership, but will no doubt put himself forward again. And he made the case last night for, he made it clear that he wants to keep on leading Labor. He says he's in it to win it.
A bit of stability would be nice for Labor, I think.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. I can't see Nick Labor saying, well, gee whiz, Bill, good crack, but see you later.
It's certainly not the way he's performed in the lead up to the election.
That's true.
You know, we make a lot of jokes about beige curtains, you know, bland Bill, but I think he's really stepped up, to be honest.
He has. I don't think anybody gave him a snowball's chance in hell 9 months ago when Malcolm Turnbull rolled Tony Abbott. I mean, with Tony Abbott and Bill Shorten, it was always going to be a close contest.
It was
like Malcolm Turnbull was 75-80% support.
Straight away.
We're looking at now 50-50. So that's very, very interesting indeed. Both leaders will be in Sydney today. Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten both in marginal seats. The Prime Minister in the Western Sydney seat of Reid. Labor leader Bill Shorten to be in the South and the West before he flies back down to his home base in Melbourne tomorrow to await the outcome. Interestingly, on the eve of the election, Julie Bishop caught on a mobile telephone while driving in Perth.
Julie, you
naughty
should know
Julie.
Better than that.
Well, indeed, her partner David Panton was sitting in the passenger seat beside her, using a phone over there while driving, a $400 fine, the loss of 3 demerit points. You may recall Bill Shorten was pinged by Victoria Police, the same thing.
Yes.
Earlier this year. So Julie Bishop saying, tut, tut, very naughty, I shan't do it again.
Cool.
Interesting to see if she doesn't want this in the last day of the election campaign, but
no,
she's got it.
You got to step up and take it on the chin, though. Look, I'll just say quickly before, you know, we're talking about polls, the bookies are telling a very different story. Bookmakers have, I believe, coalition at $1.08.
$1.08 was the last figure I saw, that's right.
$8
8
for
bucks
poor
labor.
Old Labor. Yeah.
$8. And, you know, I don't know about you, I've never met a poor bookie.
No, neither have I.
And the bookies are saying, as you say, $8 to $1.08. It was much tighter, a much smaller payout back in 2007.
Was it?
When Labor was $1.02.
Wow.
And that's what happened. I mean, Labor, they got in a landslide. And how many Labor leaders have we seen since then?
I've lost count.
It's extraordinary.
Do I have enough fingers?
Yeah, take your socks off. So that's it, really. The big sports story of the week, I suppose, has been England and Iceland. Iceland, a population in the whole country of less than Canberra, and the combined wages bill of the England soccer team would have been in the order of $1 trillion or something. Iceland, the coach is a dentist. He's a part-time footy coach. He's a dentist, and he's guided his team to this astonishing victory.
And it's been fantastic. And it's almost you could almost say that it echoes exactly what happened to poor old England over the weekend. They went from Brexit to Iceland. Who knows when they're going to bounce back and what's going to happen?
Well, they did get the rugby win over the Wallabies.
Well, they did.
That was the three-test victory.
Was that going to be in doubt, do we think?
Looking back, no. But
no.
Heading into it, Australia was talking the talk. And you must remember last year I was up in London when the Wallabies trounced England in the World Cup, knocked them out of their own World Cup, and comprehensively too. Eddie Jones, the Australian, the ex-Randwick boy who coached Japan to that memorable win over the South Africans in the World Cup up there in the UK. He brought England down here up against his old Randwick teammate Michael Checker, and he spanked Checker. And the England team spanked the Aussies. Where do they go from here? They've got the Kiwis coming up, Bledisloe Cup. They haven't had that for as long as New South Wales hasn't held the Origin
trophy. No, not for years.
Years and years and years. Let's see if they can bounce back against the All Blacks later this year.
Murray, thank you very much.